Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Chris Chadwick here. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Smoke right here on BarbecueSuperstars.com. How's it going tonight, everybody? It's been a busy, busy week this week. We've had a lot of things going on, a lot of smoke rolling, a lot of things going on, working on new events, and have many, many things to talk about tonight. We've got several people calling in this evening. We're going to work on some flavor profiling, a few technique tips. We're going to talk about some upcoming events. We just have a lot of things we want to talk about. So first thing I'd like to discuss is I want to talk about BarbecueSuperstars.com. BarbecueSuperstars.com is an awesome site. Listeners out here, you know, if I always bring this up, it's a great site, many, many things on there that you need to go check out if you haven't. It covers everything from A to Z as far as barbecue, competition cooks, kitchen cooks, bakers. It has everything there that you could possibly want. It is just an awesome site. You're talking about information. It's very informative. It has many, many videos. I just can't even tell you how many videos it has. It's got all kinds of videos to tell you rib preps, brisket preps, chicken preps, a checklist. They'll give you a checklist for everything you need. It's just going to be very informative anytime you get on there to check it out. It's just a very, very good site. We've got a caller calling in tonight. Going to have several calling in. 931, who have we got here? Okay, we're working on this board, people. Going to try to keep the smoke rolling right now. We're going to discuss several things as far as preps tonight. You know, I always talk prep. Very important, especially in competition cooking. You know, we just come off the competition trail last weekend, had a big cook there in Paris Landing. Very good cook. Unfortunately, we didn't get called, but we had some fine product. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these smaller cooks, they check your meat in. When they check it in, you have to have it all factory sealed, packaged, and basically do all the prep work there. Not like KCBS where you can go and have it prepped up and ready to roll when you get to the comp. We spend so much time that, you know, it's very important. We spend so much time on our prepping that we go directly from prepping to lighting that fire, getting our meats on, getting our big meats on, and it just takes so much time to do that. And we're going to talk prep. You know, the quicker we can get that prep work down, the better we are, the less we have to do. The more time we have to spend with all our barbecue brothers and sisters while we were at them competitions. You know, that right there is a big thing. Love the competition circuits. I love the environment. I always emphasize everybody to go check it out. Participate. Go, whether you got a rig, a Weber grill, or what, go check one out. Go enter the backyard category. You'll have a big time, no doubt. It's just awesome. Can't tell you enough about it. We just have a big time when we get there. We meet all our friends we'd never get to see any other time other than on the barbecue circuit. And let me tell you, there's nothing like a bunch of big guys out there having a good visit with each other that they never get to see, you know, once here, once there. It's awesome. People, let me tell you, it's just a good feeling to meet all these people on the barbecue circuit. It's like a big family. It sure is. 537, who we got here?
What's up, Chairman?
Hey, brothers. How y'all doing tonight?
Cruise down the interstate.
Crippled up.
Going down the interstate. Y'all have it. Coming off
Cook
this weekend?
Nah, I had to go drop my little boy off at his mom.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you. We got you in. You sound good. So what about Lulu? Did they have a big week this week?
Yeah, we had a big week this week. A lot going on. A lot of action. A lot of different things happening. Just had a really good week cooking. We had good weather. So, I mean, we had a really good time this week.
Well, that, you know, that good weather means a lot. We had a big weekend this week, too. We catered a big city event here. Had a Civil War reenactment. A lot of people out and just had a big time for that. So as I was saying, we had a big Civil War reenactment here in West Tennessee this past weekend, and Hall County was fortunate enough to be asked by the city to cater all the reenactment troops, and what a time it was. It was a lot of work, let me tell you. I'm ready to go back to work because cooking is more work than work, seems like, a lot of times anymore. We just had a huge reenactment here, and it was very nice. If you've never been to one, you ever get a chance, definitely I highly recommend you go by and check, go and see one, experience it for yourself. Very interesting, very interesting thing. I can't emphasize. You know, too much what that meant, you know, to see that reenactment. It was really pretty interesting. But Hall County was there. We let the smoke roll, and we fed several hundred people, and it just really worked out nice. Fed them a fine barbecue meal, and they were all appreciative and had a good time with that. Lulu's y'all back on with us now?
Yeah, can you hear me a little bit better?
Yeah, that sounds good. So tell us what's going on.
Not a lot. Not a whole lot at all. I mean, we got some stuff coming up this weekend. We got the Barrel Fall Classic. They will go over there. There'll be about 300-something ropers over there.
Sounds interesting. I noticed y'all were looking for some help. Y'all, are you expanding a little bit? Well, we have a little trouble trying to keep them boys online. We'll get them back here shortly. They're callers at the Lulu's Barbecue there out of Charleston, Missouri. They call in weekly. A great, great bunch of guys. They cook, cater cook. They also have a big, they call it the Big Red Sled. They go out and cook day in, day out. They do a lot of special events and hard-working guys. But let me tell you, they're hard-working guys. We've got into a little more catering now, folks, and that's really an interesting that's really interesting. Have a lot of fun with that. Get to meet a lot of new people. And it's very enjoyable to do. But back to BBQSuperstars.com. Such a great website. I just can't emphasize, enough what's going on there on BBQSuperstars.com. Daryl Mast, the man behind it all, a super great guy. He just keeps it going day in, day out. He is one of the hardest working men in barbecue media. Very fine fella. But now he works on this website weekly, and it is full of information. I tell you, you go and you get on that website, you're definitely going to have a great experience with it. You'll learn something every time you go, because I do. And we do a lot of competition cooks. We cook 2-3 times a month out on the circuit. We do a lot of smaller cooks. In the area we're at, if you're in a larger area, there's going to be more. There's going to be more sanctioned KTBS cooks. But you just learn. The more you cook, the more you learn. And you can just keep on learning, because this is just, it's never ending. I mean, you always got to keep your game up, keep things going on, because you've got to stay fresh with this. There's constantly changing these competitions, the way these meat prep and whatnot. You've got to keep going on this. All right, we got a 5-3-5. We got Lulu's back. Talk to me now. Can you hear me now? Well, guys, y'all just have to be patient with me tonight. We're having a little trouble on this board. We're trying to get cue them in, make it happen. We're going to make it happen. Just be patient with me, and let's see what we got going on. But there we go. Hopefully that's going to solve our problem. All right, 5-3. 573, who we got here?
Hello?
Hello, you back
Hello.
With us?
Yeah, he's a moron. He's back with you.
All right. Well, it's kind of quiet here tonight, guys. The board's not operating right. I can't get callers in, but we're going to make it happen. We're going to make it work. Just tuning in, it's Chris Chadwick on the Chris Chadwick Show. We're talking smoke, we're talking barbecue, we're going to talk some technique tonight, we're going to talk a few things, and hopefully let the smoke roll now. We got to keep it going. Anything, have you got any barbecue events coming up that you're planning on going to? Are y'all going to Springfield, Tennessee?
Yeah, we plan on going to Springfield. Hopefully, as long as nothing, no catering things or anything pop up, we're going, so... As far as right now, we're there. Everything's kind of before and after, so we'll see what happens.
I think it's going to be a pretty good cook. I don't know how the numbers or how many they've got so far, but are you going to cook backyard or pro to be?
Oh, we're cooking pro. We don't just cook no backyard.
No, I know. I got you. What categories are they going to have that cook?
Brisket, pork, chicken, and ribs?
Yeah, I think so. They don't have a dessert category or a backyard by any chance, do they?
I don't know about that.
I don't either. We got another caller, 573-683. Who we got there?
It's the other part, Lulu's.
That's the other part?
Yeah, it's the other part, Lulu's.
All right, great to hear from both of you guys tonight. It's been a busy week for me. We've had a lot of stuff going on. We've fed a lot of people this weekend. We had a big Civil War reenactment we fed for this weekend, and and had a great time. We slung a lot of barbecue, that's for sure. I'm sure not in a major volume like y'all do, but we've had a big time. Just meeting people, getting to meet all those Civil War reenactors. You know, it's just a good thing. You know, I can see where y'all enjoy getting out, cooking in different locations, meeting all the people. You know, that's part of the gratification of doing a lot of what we do, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris, that is one of the biggest parts of doing what we actually do is hearing it from the people of, you know, how well they appreciate everything and just kind of seeing a smile on people's face.
Well, you know, I agree with you there. That's part of the barbecue world, the barbecue community. It's been... A lot of people don't realize until they get out there what's going on and how this works. And it's very gratifying. That's why I really emphasize people to get out, go participate or go and experience barbecue competition. If they're not cooking and competing, at least go and meet people. I'll tell you, that's one of the finest people you'll meet for a barbecue competition. I've met a tremendous amount of people over the couple years that I've been doing this, and I just can't say enough about it. You know, when you meet these people, you might meet them once or twice, and after you meet them and talk to them, you felt like you've known them forever, and it just gets better and better. And that's what life's about. You know, we get out there, enjoy what we're doing. We're firing our pits up, we're prepping our meat, we're having a big time, we're getting to socialize a little bit, just have a good time on the circuit, on the trail, on the competition trail. I know I don't get to compete near as much. A lot of these big guys, they get out there, especially down in Georgia, South Carolina. We've got a lot of serious cooks down there. These guys are big, heavy hitters. They've got some really fine rigs. They're rolling every weekend, going to these competitions, traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles. And, you know, I really commend them. That it's a lot of work. People don't realize the work that is involved in these barbecue competitions. And, I mean, you can work your tail off, no doubt. And people just don't realize all the work that goes into it. You go to these competitions, you set up, it takes you, you want to get set up. It takes you hours and hours to set these competitions, set up all your stuff, get ready for these competitions. I was speaking earlier about prepping meat. You know, a lot of things we do around these small local cooks, when you get to a cook, they inspect the meat. They're all factory sealed and packaged. You haven't done any prep work to them at all. And that is very time consuming. I know, guys, y'all, the last comp y'all went to, where in Arkansas, I believe, y'all had posted pictures of chicken and had a lot of things prepped up before you ever got there, didn't you?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Tell me don't you get some difficulties. Hold on one second.
That's all right. Folks.
Yeah, we had everything we had was prepped before we got there, and we had everything already ready to go. Just kind of sit back and relax and, you know, kind of put things together and get it going and, you know, put it on the grill. Made everything a lot easier, that's for sure.
It does. I agree with you. It sure does. I just wish I could be prepared enough to be able to go and do that, have them all prepped up and ready to roll like that. We always pretty much set up a kitchen and a 10 by 10 pop-up screened up, and we do all our prep work before we ever get started, and that's pretty time-consuming. You know, it takes away from the time to play when you're there at a competition. But I'm just, you know, we just don't get to compete near as much as we'd like to, but, you know, it takes a toll. There's a lot of work involved. It takes a lot of financing, and that's where our sponsors come in. And we're fortunate enough to start picking up some sponsors, and I know y'all don't have any sponsors at all other than yourselves, do you?
No, we don't have any sponsors. I mean, we're actually sponsoring a couple people. We're going to start sponsoring some mud race trucks and some race cars, but we don't have any sponsors.
Well, I noticed that earlier. I thought I'd seen a post about mud track car or something. Y'all, so what's going on there? Y'all gonna put a car on the track?
One of my cousins, he's actually got a mud truck. They're running the mud races up here just right outside of our town. And I know the people that's going to be there, and we're more than likely going to be the ones that's going to be vending food there at some point in time, just trying to get involved, and we're going to sponsor his truck. And then they've been talking to us over at the racetrack. They have some pretty good, big, different events going on over there with the Dixie Door Slammers, and, you know, they draw in a big crowd. And just hopefully we'll get over there, and we're going to be sponsoring some cars over there, so... You know, it's cheap and it's effective, so people get to see you.
Right. It keeps your name out there. It keeps Lulu's barbecue fresh on everybody's mind. You know, that's something I try to do a lot here locally. It would be nice to cover more area, as I'm always working my brand, my team name, trying to keep that product out there. Representing strong locally, trying to pick up sponsors, that's very important when you go on these competition cooks, because it's very easy to go spend $500 to $1,000 on a competition cook, you know, especially if you got a big rig, fuel, time, you know, it's a lot of work, and it's pretty expensive in some aspects, and that's where those sponsors come in.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we've had several big propositions from people, and we've just kind of turned them down. It's just something that, you know, a little bit more than what we want to do. You know, if we're the sponsor that wants to come on board that, you know, has a product, you know, things like that, that's great. But, I mean, we've had a lot of people want to pretty much put up money, you know, quite a big amount of money, and that's
right.
Just something we just don't really want to get into, so...
Right,
that's about
right.
The only thing we've really had.
Well, I know recently we've been working on sponsors and talking to several of the companies and talking to several people about possibly sponsoring and getting their foot in the door of the Tennessee Barbecue Association here in Tennessee. We're working hard on that. Still have plans, having more plans just coming together. We're just working on that, and hopefully sooner than later we're going to be able to be part of that and have basic corporation sponsors that are going to come in and play for that. That's really exciting to be able to be putting up products, product in. We'll be representing your product at all the small PA events. We thank you for them. Once we start sanctioning, becoming a sanctioned body, we're going to have product out there to give out. I know every barbecuer likes a little goodie bag or likes a little gift bag. They like a little barbecue bag when they go to a competition. And, you know, that's little things like that help and bring back teams to come back again. And, but what we're really working on is the branding of our team, the branding of the Tennessee Barbecue Association. I know the big video y'all put out during Pitmaster auditions really, I think it really helped y'all as far as branding yourself. I think that was a really good strategic marketing move there for y'all, and I believe, you know, I commend you for that because it was a great video, and I think it just really helped y'all. You know, it got the word out about Lulu's Barbecue.
Yeah, Chris, I do believe you're right. I mean, it really, people knew who he was, but I think the video really helped push us out there a little bit further in the whole world. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, we're really not all about the barbecue competitions. You know, this is pretty much our lifestyle. This is what we do. So, you know, we're marketing ourselves to make money. You know, we're a product. We're an image. We're selling ourselves is what we're, you know, what we're doing. So, you know, the competitions is just kind of a accent to what we have.
Well, I agree with you. That's, you know, that goes, that's as far as any business is concerned. when I started this, you know, basically I was competition barbecuing, and I love to do it. I love to go compete. You know, you go to these competitions, you're going to meet and greet and see all different kinds. And it's just a great experience. It actually helps life go by much better when you get to do things like that. But on the flip side of that is the greater picture, making an income. We're not doing it for the money, but eventually it would be nice if we could make some money doing it. And, you know, that is an objective. And it's good for everybody. You know, everybody needs to make money. But I think that video really helped y'all. It got you out. It got you more well-known. And, you know, that was a good leap forward right there for Lulu's Barbecue, for sure. And I was proud to see y'all with it, and I'm glad it's helped you. You know, and I think it's going to continue to help you. And it's just going to become much, much busier. You know, you're going to be cooking more. You're going to be vending more. You're going to have more events to do. I know I've kind of fell into this also, doing some small events, doing some vending, which this past weekend, you know, I did that. The city really enjoyed that. You just get to get out there and meet, greet people, serve them up, let them taste your product. And, you know, it means a lot when they give you a thumbs up, they come and tell you how they enjoy it. You know, we were at the city park. People from all over different states come in. You serve them a barbecue sandwich, and some people went as far as to go over and sit down in the grass and basically pick each bite of meat off that sandwich and just sit there and savor the flavor and really enjoy it, you know. And you get a little gratification out of that, you know, when you kick out a good product and people appreciate it, it makes you feel good. Am I right there?
Yeah, it really does. You know, turning out a good product really does make you feel really good that your customers are getting something. But, you know, really the payback is, you know, having them come up to you and, you know, appreciate what you actually do to actually serve out a good product. And a lot of people get to see it. Something I'll be working on here in the near future, I will be buying me a handy cam to be wearing 24/7 of my life pretty much. And going to start adding it down to like a 5-minute video so people can actually watch the inside life of Lulu's of everything that kind of happens from the prep to the, you know, things that happen, the crazy stuff that happens, and then, you know, things that we do, things that other people do. And there's just a lot of stuff that nobody gets to see other than, you know, me or him. And, you know, we'll kind of let everybody in that door and, you know, think it'll be a big success.
Well, see, that right there might even give you a new reality TV show. Who knows? You know, you never know what doors open. When one closes, another opens. When one closes, 10 open. And I tell you, I just wish the best for y'all. I wish the best for everybody as far as that's concerned. I want us all to do good and prosper and just continue to grow in you know, in each and every day of our life, you know, because the barbecue is such a huge part of our life. I mean, it is your life, you know, as far as that's how you make your living. That's what you do. I know you don't get to compete in competitions as much, but you're working all the time, and that's your livelihood. And you know, and it looks like that, you know, that's just the way to go, and I commend you for that, and I think it's just going to get better and better. You know, you might get a reality show out of this. Who knows? Be Lulu's Barbecue. It'd be barbecue time with Lulu's. Who knows?
I mean, we could feel a realistic show for all that happens around here.
Oh, I'm
there ain't no doubt
I'm
about it.
I understand. I believe we could have one here every day too, no doubt. You know, I know a lot of us feel that way, and you know, we always have obstacles we overcome. It seems like every day, but it seems like it gets easier to overcome them. And if that's the case, we're doing something right, no doubt.
I really didn't pay that much attention to it until a lot of people that was around us started talking about it. And that's what got me to noticing actually all the stuff that does go on and the stupid stuff we do and the fights and the arguments and the other things and, you know, just stupid stuff like that. And, you know, just kind of realized it and kind of like, man, that is kind of funny. People do like to see that. And, you know, nobody really gets to see the inside world of barbecue. You know, everybody just sees the finished product, and that's what's sitting on their plate. That's about it. You know, nobody really knows anything else.
Well, there's a lot of pre to the barbecue and to preparing. You know, there's a lot of pre-prep to that. And, you know, I think that'll be a good insight, especially for your viewers. You know, you just start putting them out there. You're going to introduce them to what, to your Facebook, and then have them all episodes as far as on YouTube, have them keyed in, you know, and go hit each episode on YouTube. I think that would be great for y'all to do. It sounds like a really good idea, and I think it's just going to get better and better and bigger for you. I think once you start doing that, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. It's a good marketing tool. You know, that's what I'm looking at as a good marketing tool, to where it's free, it's cheap, and it'll be good. And you know, that's another thing. You know, it's kind of like the Facebook thing. It's free, it's cheap, and it don't take up a whole lot of time, and it touches a lot of people.
That's right. You know, that Facebook is a marvelous tool. It's just you can just get reached. You can reach the world through Facebook. And on your YouTube, you get your videos out there, and you push your videos through your Facebook that are on YouTube, and it'll just go and go and grow and grow. And that's what it's all about. You know, that's why we originally start barbecuing. We want to grow in the field. We want to go and compete and grow and go and make money. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about getting rich by any means, because you know, when you're in the barbecue competition, you're competing, you're not doing it for the money, basically, because you're spending quite a bit to bring home a chance of, and you've got to really enjoy and really love to do, you know, to do that. I know you can get, personally, I get wrapped up in this barbecue, in the world of it, talking barbecue, living barbecue, breathing barbecue, and cooking barbecue seems like day after day now. And that's on top of my full-time profession. So, I mean, it's just like another job, but it's you have to have the love of it to keep going. And that's what it's all about, you know. You've got to have that passion involved, and it just gets better and better. So hopefully one day, it'll be big for you. You'll be making that money. It'll be rolling in. You can enjoy some of your time, and I just wish you the best on that. You know, it's just I see where y'all at. I don't know how many counties surrounding where you live that you cover from week to week.
About three counties is what we cover right now. That, you know, we cover weekly is three counties, but, you know, we can do more. We got people wanting us to come to different counties. It's just trying to get it all in perspective of how to get it all done. That's the thing.
Right, right. Well, so your tri-county, you're constantly hitting different spots. Try to pick a prime location, I'm sure, is key. It seems like y'all really have some good spots, and fortunate enough to be picking up spots like that. But that's always the key, location, location. If you've been watching any of the Food Network, the truck race, food truck race, you know, they always talk in location, location on all these challenges, and, you know, and that matters. And it seems like y'all got some good spots.
Yeah, location does make a big difference. It really does. On where you want to be at. You know, that's why we got the CB that we have to run, so that way we can cater to the truck drivers. They can hear us, you know, 10 miles away, coming up north, coming up south, and, you know, different things like that. And then, you know, we're in our hometown. People just, you know, they park in a location where it's along a highway. So that way, but the number one thing is you got to have plenty of parking. A lot of places, you know, you go, they don't have a whole lot of parking. And,
right.
You know, you need a place that, you know, has a lot of traffic and it has a lot of parking. And, you know, the structure for what you're looking for it does need to kind of adapt to people. It's kind of like gas stations. You always go down the road and you'll see a gas station that's out of business. It's because of the location they put that business at. It's a bad location. Because most people just don't stop at that period of time. You have to, you know, you look at other businesses and you kind of just take a scale off of it and kind of put that into a database and kind of go with it. I mean, that's really the only way I can explain it.
Right, right. Well, we understand what you're talking about there on location. That's prime, and it's always, and the thing about prime locations are they always change. You know, it's never one. It's going to always be one. It's going to be many. It's always going to change. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about menu. I noticed you do you stick with basic menu? Tell us a little bit what you got on your menu. You know, I know you vary from a few days to a few days. What's your constant on there?
Yeah, I keep a just a small menu. I mean, we do a lot of things. But I usually do a 2 to 3 different item menu a day to where I look at things the way to make money is that if you can make more than one things out of one product, you're going to triple your money. Because if you're cooking all different things, then, you know, you're not going to get the, you're not going to get the scale you want. But, you know, we do usually do 2 or 3 different things on the menu. But, I mean, we do anything from pork loin to pork steaks to, you know, pork by the pound. Pork sandwiches, ribeye steak sandwiches. We do ribs, rib sandwiches. We do barbecue nachos. We do the Southern Spud, which is a tater. It's got cheese and pork and cheese and, you know, sauce on it. And we do a Polish sausage. We do pork chops. I mean, we do a cup of Q, which is, you know, it's got beans at the bottom. It's got pork. It's got sauce. It's got potato salad. I mean, we do a little bit of anything. And, you know, just what really what the people want. So we, you know, we just try to keep things kind of fresh, keep things kind of new. I actually fell asleep a little bit earlier today and took a nap and woke up with a new idea. So I'm gonna try that out here coming up and see how that works out. So.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I mean, I think we all do that. We wake up with a brainstorm, brainchild, you know, and it seems like I'm constantly waking up with something that I'm thinking about. But you know. Really, that is the key. It's basically like a Mexican restaurant. You know, they've got beef, they've got chicken, they've got onions, they've got peppers, and they've got tomatoes. And then they've got rice and beans. Now, 8 out of 10 dishes, 8 out of 10 entrees in their menu are the same ingredients. It's just how it's laid out on the plate.
That's right. I mean, you're exactly right. And the thing is, I was a Pepsi manager for 8 years, so I've dealt with people, I've dealt with all kinds of businesses from restaurants and convenience stores to major chains to, you know, big stock businesses. So it has actually helped me out in what I do because dealing with them people and running, you know, data processes for those stores on products, on people, on ethnic groups. I mean, that, you know, that's the thing. And with ethnic groups, you know, a lot of places – and a lot of businesses, you know, you'll have a lot of white people go into one place. You'll have a lot of black people going to one place. You'll have, you know, Mexicans going to one place. You'll have, you know, Latinos. I mean, that's just the way it is in the business world. For some reason, you know, you get in every town I went, there was always certain spots where everybody went, and that's just the way it was. Don't know why that was, but, you know, and that's the thing with Lulu's. I did something. We tried to do something to get everybody at our location, and it has worked out. Because we feed everybody from somebody that, you know, has only $5 to $100,000 in their bank account, people with suits, people that's wearing blue jeans, people as construction workers, people that works at the bank. I mean, we feed everybody. And that's my main goal, and that was our main focus when we started this business, was to find a way to draw everybody in to come eat at this spot, was, you know, to get all the business from everybody else to come in here. And it's just something, it always amazes me because over those 8 years, I mean, I've traveled, you know, 300 miles, 500 miles in a circular area, and I've never seen anything like it. And that's what amazes me more than anything, to where the difference of people that we get there, that's, you know, that's my biggest amazement right there.
Well, that's back to your different locations. You definitely got to know your market, that's for sure. And you want to cater to the complete market. And I think when you've got an extensive menu like you've got, that works very well to cater to that market. You know, barbecue being your base, you can take and do so many things with your barbecue. Barbecue nachos, barbecue potatoes, barbecue pizza, barbecue, roll it up and make a barbecue fajita. I mean, you can do anything with it. And you know, and have an extensive menu with, you know, basically one or two items that you can make work. And that's another key of being diverse as far as, you know, what you're doing, the vending aspect. When you get into that, it is. You have to be diverse, and you have to keep continuously coming up with new ways and new things to do to keep people coming back. And the bottom line is you've got good food, you've got good service, you're friendly, they're going to come back and trade with you.
Yeah, we have really good customers. You know, we stand upon having some of the best customers in our area compared to any other business in our area in those three counties. We have the best customers around that stand behind us, that are loyal. You know, it's not like 5 or 10. That's what's amazing, because, you know, you go in the cafe, that your local cafe, and there'll be 10 or 15 people there, and they're always there. And you know them by name. Every time you walk in, they're, you know, sitting there talking at the table. I mean, it's just like, you know, we got 100, 150, 300 people that follows us around. We can be in one area, in one county, and we got people from another county calling, hey, we're sending somebody over, we need 30 orders of this, or, you know, that's just overwhelming. It really is, to have such great customers that stand behind us, and, you know, they don't let people talk about us. If, you know, somebody brought something up, we've never really had that, but, you know, we've had people stand up for us and, you know, different things like that, but, you know, it's just, it's really great to have a family like that, that really, you know, takes up for you and stands up for you and, you know, spreads the word for you. You know, they're our biggest advertisement is the people. You know, they stand up and they say, hey, this is where you need to go. I mean, we had some people show up somewhere down the parade. They was talking with my buddy, talking about some barbecue, and he said, I'm going to send them down there to y'all. He sent me a message. They sent him a message and send something back to him. I can't really talk about it on the phone, but I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's what, you know, that's what's great about it.
Yeah, that's right, and that's what works. It sure is, and you know, that's how it works. But you know, we could just talk about that, because I mean, it's never ending. It's a never ending subject we could talk about. You know, this evening I had some issues with the board trying to get it up and get it running, and had a few callers I couldn't get in, and I was thinking to myself, you know, we've got a 2-hour show, we've been fortunate enough to have y'all call in, have several teams call in, and they always call in. We talk barbecue, we talk a lot of smoke, we just have a good time talking about all this. But sometimes you think, what are we going to talk about? And Once we get one or two calling in, and we bring up a couple of good subjects, I mean, hey, you know, we can talk about that for hours upon hours, and it's just that easy to come in and start talking barbecue. We love to eat barbecue. We love to cook barbecue. We love to talk barbecue. I mean, that's just what it is. Q is the name of the game, and here on the Chris Chadwick Show, Barbecue Superstars, I was fortunate enough, Daryl Mast asked me if I would do or try to do this show, and I've had a real good time doing it. I think we have some good topics. We cover some good things here. I emphasize everybody to call in to the show. Call in and ask a question or tell us what you got on your mind. Be a part of the show. The phone number here to call into is 1-347-202-0263. And that phone number again is 1-347-202-0263. Call in, let's talk barbecue, let's talk smoke. Now, back to hand, you know, Barbecue Superstars has a great lineup of shows every night of the week. You can always call in, listen, or be part of the show. And without callers calling in, without you listeners, there wouldn't be a show. And I appreciate everybody that calls in here because I feed off of you. And that's, you know, I just appreciate everybody calling in because I usually don't plan a show because if I do, then usually we never cover what we plan. So, you know, call in. The number again is 1-347-202-0263. And we'll talk barbecue. It's real simple. It's a great, we have a great time. We cut up. We just have a good time. And that's what it's about. So if you're listening and you'd like to call in, do so. We welcome your call. We've got Lulu's Barbecue out of Charleston, Missouri on the line tonight. These guys, some great guys. We always talk barbecue with them. We just feed off each other and have a big time. So call in, ask us questions, you know, if we want to get into a little cook time, a little prep time, a little information, we'll be glad to cover it. Just give us a call and we'll cover that. And by any chance, guys, did y'all go down to, I believe it was St. Charles, Missouri this past weekend? Wasn't in the Sam's Club tournament down there?
No, we wasn't there, but old Robert Pitmaster Sierra was there, him and a couple of them. They was actually going to come by and see us, but they come up the left side of the state, and we're on the right side of the state. And I talked to them, and I think they had a pretty enjoyable time up there. Didn't really get to meet and hang out with them, but, you know, we're going to meet up somewhere. We talked to them so where we can find some place to meet up with them and meet them. So, you know, some of them Texas boys.
I know. I'm ready to meet them myself. We're back and forth all the time. Pitmaster Robert, Gabe, SMS Pit Crew. I've seen a few of their pictures on Facebook. Matter of fact, one of them, Phil Wingo, had SNS, had the SNS boys in there. Bill Arnold was right slap dab in the middle of them. And I believe Buzz Dean was in the picture too. And, you know, I thought, man, that's a crew there. You know, they're having a big time. There's no telling what kind of stories are being told. And I'm sure they had a great time. And I just figured y'all, if y'all could have got there and got in it, that it would have been a huge time to go and be involved in. I don't know the outcome. I'm not sure. I haven't really been on Facebook to kind of keep up with all those scores and who placed and who did what. But I'm going to try to get in there and find out a little more a little later tonight when it was after the show. But I just hadn't had time to be on Facebook the last few days, you know. When you prep, when you go to prep and get ready for a catering event, a vending event, y'all know more so than I do because y'all have done many more than I have. But, you know, when you go and you don't know what kind of numbers you're going to actually have to provide for, and you go in kind of blindfolded on that and set up a whole line basically there in the middle of a park, it's pretty tough, and it was a lot of work.
What all did you serve up there, Chris?
What did I serve?
Yeah, what did you serve?
Well, what we did, you know, we had to feed numbers, and what we served, I had some shoulders, had four shoulders. I also had smoked sausage. I had chicken. I had baby back ribs. And y'all seen my pit, you know, and I kind of had to stage this up. I had to stage it up. I pre-cooked my shoulders before I got there and kept them up to temp. Also did baked beans. I do a twice-baked potato smothered in garlic, pepper, butter, and also a gourmet slaw. And it usually all works really well. The potatoes are always a hit, something very, very easy to do, and are very delicious. I mean, they clean their plates on the potatoes and the slaw and the beans and the barbecue for that matter. I mean, it was pretty extensive. And, you know, basically I cooked it all right there on the spot. prepped it there and did it all right there. And it was a lot of work, but we had a lot of fun. Started at 5 o'clock yesterday morning and finished up and got home about 9:30, 10 o'clock that evening. So it was a pretty extensive, long day.
Yeah, it does make for a long day. I think that's about what we did. I ended up getting to bed about 2 o'clock that morning and then ended up leaving about 5:30 that morning, getting over there, setting up everything, getting everything going. You know, I had everything ready by 10. So it makes for a long day where you have to sell. But, you know, once you see the dollar sitting in the cash register, you know, it kind of pushes everything away from that time.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, usually my team consists of most of the time of me, my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter now, and my wife, when we go to serve and do set up like that. One of my team members off of Hall County, he'd come in and help for a little while. And then I had a couple dear friends that come in and help. They were there, and they kicked in and helped. So we just served the masses and had a good time. I sure appreciate all of them helping me. I know it means a lot when you've got a crowd, a line, you've got lined up, you know, and just people just coming and coming and coming, and you've got people come in and they'll help you, just chip right in and help out. I mean, it means a lot, you know. You know as well as I do, when you've got them backed up, you got to get them in and out.
Yeah, you know, the line situation, that's the biggest thing. We had a
cotton carnival, and we went down there to take the kids to go around rides and, you know, different things. And then, you know, there were several different concession stands by, like, the Lions Club, the American Eagles, the BMW, you know, and things like that that had food booths. Normally got something to eat, and, you know, just watching them, they just didn't help themselves out any. They caused themselves more problems serving food out the window than they was making money. And I'm thinking, man, if there's 20,000 people standing out here, you're costing yourself money because you're just taking your old time like it's just, you know, an everyday thing. But, you know, if it was me, I'd be slinging it out the window as quick as I could get it.
Right, right.
Because, well, I mean, you only got a time frame. You know, there's a big time frame there. And, you know, you want to make as much money within that one time frame as you can. And, you know, that's the big thing right there. Because after a certain time, people are not going to eat, no matter
right.
where you're at.
Well, you know, what's bad about it with me is when I've got them in line and I'm right there serving, I'm going to speak to every one of them and talk to them for a minute and, you know, kind of keep it going. But it really worked out real well. We had a good time and just kept it all going. It was a lot of Civil War reenactors there, and they were dressed to the T, and it was very interesting to meet and greet pretty much all of them, and we just had a great time with that.
Yeah, what'd you think about the guns? We was at an event one day, and I didn't know it. They was actually having a Civil War reenactment behind us, about 50 yards behind my trailer, and we didn't know they was doing it. And I was standing out on the back deck of that trailer, and they started shooting. I didn't thought I'd been shot. It was loud. It scared the crap out of me.
When they started rocking them cannons, man, I mean, the smoke was rolling, no doubt, because you could see the smoke, and them cannons were talking. They were it was very interesting to see and hear that. I just couldn't imagine, you know, if there were a whole company of cannons, you know, in these reenactments, you know, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 cannons, versus, you know, a whole battalion of cannons lined up really going off. I can imagine. If you're talking about decibels and sound and shaking the ground, that's definitely going to do it, no doubt. But I really enjoyed it. Just can't emphasize enough how much we had a good time and enjoyed that. It was just a big time.
Well, you think you're going to be able to make it to the Springfield Festival, the contest,
you know,
over there in Springfield, Tennessee?
You know, I'm looking at this, and I'm trying, and And I know one of my team members said something about it not long ago, and it might be possible for us to get down there. You know, it's not, you know, it's not that far. I would say it's probably no further than 80-100 miles from us. Now, how far is it from y'all?
I think it's about 2.5 hours. I think so. I think it was it.
That's not too bad. Now, you know, you brought up S&S Pit Crew earlier. They're from Texas, and I just wondered how far they traveled to get there to Missouri. You know, what kind of run that was for them.
I know it was a pretty good haul because they live right outside San Antonio. So I know it's a pretty good drive. I know they come up through Oklahoma and off the west side of Missouri. So I know it's a pretty good haul because they had to come all the way over to the east side of Missouri, up closer to the north.
Well, that was, that's, you know, like I was saying earlier, some of these guys, some of these big teams, they travel. I mean, man, they travel hundreds and hundreds of miles to go compete for a weekend. And you've got to have the love of the game to go do that. And, you know, it's not free either. You know, you've got the expense there when you go and travel that far. So, you know, that's another thing that I always try to emphasize when we have a show talking about the barbecue community. They all love what they do, and they do travel, and they do spend, and they do have an expense. But they go and enjoy this. And for people to go and travel like they do and spend the money they do just to go cook for, you know, just to go cook for 2 days, and, you know, there's got to be something to it. And that's what I always try to tell people. Once you go to a barbecue cook-off competition, once you experience it, you're going to go back and do another one. Now, yes, it would be a lot easier. We don't have a quote a rig. I have my cooker, and then I have pop ups, and you know we set them up like that. And it's a little tougher to haul and move and transport all that versus, you know, just having all of it in one rig. But we do have a good time, and we go and we play and we travel a little bit and. I would really like to go to Springfield. I just hadn't finalized that yet, and hadn't talked to the event people there in Springfield to make sure I can even get in still. But
yeah, I think Mick's coming. Old Mick Chester. I think he's at home listening right now. But we'll see if he gets on here in a minute. But I think he's coming to Springfield.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Is Fraz going to be able to make it to Springfield too?
Nah, Fraz has got to go to Myrtle Beach. He'll be on vacation. He won't be able to come.
Well, okay. I couldn't remember, and I know we talked about that not long ago, and we talk about so many different things, so many different events. It's hard to keep them all straight sometimes, and, you know, there's events every weekend, and I know it's never ending, and I've already got the invitation. There's something y'all need to think about is that Tupelo, Mississippi in March, that's going to be a good show. That's always, I had a good time there.
Yeah, I talked to the S&S Pit Crew, Robert, and I told them about that one because we were talking about finding a contest to meet up with them at, and I figured Tupelo would be a good contest. It's just down there. And it's probably about the same distance from them and it's from us. And I told him it's probably about 80, 90 teams. And he said that's a pretty good contest right there. So they're probably going to try to get that on their books for next year. And we're going to try to have it on our books for next year.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, it's what, March 24th, 25th, something like that. And, you know, that might sound like a long way away. But man, as you get older, it's quicker. You know, time flies, and it's going to be right around the corner. And I'm already trying to make plans and have me a little Tupelo fund put aside right now where I can go to that, because that is going to be one fine show. It's really run professional. It's run, it's just really nice to go to. It's just very nice.
Yeah, if we could go that way, we'll probably load up several of us and, you know, just kind of bring a big team down there and hang out and have fun and do things like that or just see what we can get done, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's really nice. I was trying to pull that up as we talk right now where I can give you a little info on it. I know there's several competitions in October, but we've already getting them lined up. I know here on the TBA, the Tennessee Barbecue Association site, has several event organizers there on that site. So folks, if you get a chance, go to the Tennessee Barbecue Association site. If you're close or local or out of the state, it doesn't matter. We always constantly posting site show events, competition events, and different places. I think this year Tupelo is a hunk of burning loins, and it's actually on March 15th and 16th of 2013. That's the scheduled date, and that is a good show. I do recommend that. If you go, you're going to have a good time, no doubt. It's just really nice show. But that's just mark it down in your books. March 15th and 16th of 2013 is Tupelo DBQ Duel, DUEL.com. You can check out that website, and that'll give you plenty of information on that also. It's real nice cook. You'll definitely like it.
Yeah, we got that one on the books right now. You know, we had a lot going on this year that, you know, we're a lot of cooks that we wanted to go to, and just didn't really work out that way. Some other things overtook those as priority-wise, and just didn't get to do what we wanted to do. So hopefully next year we'll be able to do more competitions than what we actually did this year, because I think we've only did like three is all we've done so far this year. We did Springfield. It'll be our fourth contest this year.
Well, yeah, you're cooking all the time. See, we get to cook. We go and cook because we enjoy it. You're cooking all the time, every day, day in, day out. And it's work, and it is work. And, you know, man, I'm wore out. I've been wore out all day from yesterday. And I just, it's a lot of work and people just realize when you go to a barbecue competition to cook, compete, you're having a great time, but it's going to be a little work. You'll definitely feel a little pain after the fun, no doubt. But now here in October, I'll go over a few events. We've got Springfield, and that's the 13th. And that is, let's see, Springfield. That is I believe it's the 13th, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it's the 13th. It's the 13th of next month.
Okay. All right. And then you've got, October 19th and 20th. I believe that's going to be the Carlisle Fest.
The Carlisle?
Yeah. Yep, that's Shane Draper. He's been putting that out there, informing everybody about that. I think there's quite a few prizes on that one. Very nice cook. I want to give a shout out to old Shane Draper tonight. Draper's Barbecue Sauce. Draper's Getting Sauce with Draper's. I know he had a show on Wednesday nights, Barbecue Superstars, and during the lineup, and he just has so many irons in the fire that he had to put a couple of them down, and I think he's took a little time off from the airwaves and from the Wednesday night show, and going to commit more time to his everyday work. You know, he's got a lot of irons in the fire. We want to shout out to Shane. Then we sure think about him all the time, and going to miss him on the show on Wednesday nights, but I'm sure he'll be back before long, and even the stronger, and just wish Shane the best. Draper's Barbecue, I know he's got a great rub, all-purpose rub, AP rub that it's really got a good. It's got a good flavor. It's good profiles. His sauce is really good. It basically will work on anything. He's got a good brisket rub out there. Just look him up, DrapersBarbecue.com, I believe is how it would be under, and just check it out. It's a great site. Very informative, and he does have a, I believe he has a newsletter that kicks out too. He sends out when you register your email. So I recommend everybody check that out. He's got some good product, no doubt. But back, I think also there's another cook on the 19th and 20th here on the TBA site. But we have so many, you know, and it's a shame you've got so many that fall on the same dates too. You know, you've got two or three on the same date, and it's hard to decide sometimes what you're going to hit. I know that's how last weekend we had the Boss Hoss Festival there at Parents Land in Tennessee, and also a Tyson event out of Union City. We elected to go to the Boss Hoss event there at the lake. Really, really good little location right there on the water. Had a good time. Cooked a lot of good food. Had a lot of good teams there. I know a good friend of mine, Keith Brauner, grilling and chilling, team grilling and chilling. He pulled the GC off this past weekend. I want to congratulate him again. Him and Lisa did a wonderful job. And I was hoping he was going to call in tonight. I tried to get in touch with him, but I didn't have any luck. But hopefully we'll have Keith back on the air with us before long, because he's always got something interesting to tell us, and we just miss it when he ain't around. You know, that's like Lulu's. If we didn't have them on the show, we'd be missing them boys. So glad to have them here, and I want to tell everybody, anybody that's listening that would like to call in and be a part of the show, just call in, give us a call at 1-347-202-0263 here on Barbecue Superstars Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. Just give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. Just call in and let's talk smoke now. Call in, give us a call. 1-347-202-0263. I look forward to hearing from you. So, guys, y'all are planning on going to Springfield. I'm excited. Hopefully we can make plans to get down there and all hook up. I just know it'll be a good show if we're all there, no doubt.
Yeah, it was pretty enjoyable last year. They had a pretty good show. I think the payout's about $6,500, $7,000, somewhere around there. So it's got a decent payout with it. So, you know, it's always a good thing.
You know, some of these shows have bigger payouts, less payouts. You know, they all have different payouts. But I know my feelings were hurt a couple weekends ago when we were at the Boss Hoss, didn't get a call, didn't get a mention, didn't get a whiff, didn't even get a sniff. But, you know, it's when you put good product out there and you just don't get a call, you think what you've done wrong, what can you do better. I know at the Tyson event the prior weekend before, our pork always is pretty strong. We always scored pretty high on that. We thought we had a top-notch, fine product, and it was a three judge per table evidently, and we had one judge that just didn't like our profiles at all and just killed us on chicken and pork, and I was just shocked to get some low scores like that. But you know, it's hard to swallow when you got one judge giving you a 9.99 or a 10.10.9, and another judge giving you a 9.99, and then one giving you 6.76 or 7.7 8, you know, something low, and that just kills you. You're just thinking, what did he miss that the other two got? I don't know. But, you know, some of those scores can hurt your feelings sometimes. And you just got to suck it up, buttercup, and go on to the next cook. That's basically what we do, right?
That's about all you can really do, to be honest with you.
So, you know,
you get to look and you see bad score at the end of the row. It's always something, but you know, that's like this contest I'm going to, you know, here in a couple of weeks. I'm kind of throwing all the textbook stuff out the window. I'm going in a different way of cooking. So,
right,
I'm just sticking to my simple process and going to do what I do every day and serve it the same way I serve it every day and let them see how that scores me, because I've done all the other stuff they wanted me to do their way, and it ain't seemed to get me anywhere. So I'm going to do it my way, the way I serve my public every day, and be done with it.
Right. Well, this is a sanctioned KCBS event, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a KCBS event.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, a lot of these smaller cooks, you never know what the judges are after. You don't really have any type of guidelines to go by, any kind of basically cook rules to do. And when you have these smaller cooks, these smaller contests, or the more of a local type, you know, you always want to tend to make it more sweet and savory, something that's going to be good and they're going to enjoy, flavor profile versus a strictly competition set up, you know, that's, you know, it just usually works. The savory, the sweet savory, more like instead of taking a bite out of that rib, you see your teeth marks when you pull away, you're going to make it fall off the bone and just have a fine product, something that everybody thinks it ought to be. And, but, you know, that's what I know I do on a lot of these smaller cooks. I'm just cooking like you want them to serve the best they've ever had, and you want it to fall off the bone, pretty much, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, there is kind of a science behind the whole contest thing. Everybody always thinks the people with the best food always wins, but it's more of a kind of a science behind it of, you know, really what they're looking for and, you know, how they feel
about it.
But, there's a couple other things that, you know, if you're hanging around the KCBS world a little bit, you find out that, you know, that a lot of people don't know, and certain things that, you know, you should know that you don't know, and, you know, things like that. That's the only thing that bugs me. So we're just going to throw it out there in a different way and just have fun. And, you know, if not, we'll just throw $500 at the window, come home, make some money. But, you know, we're just going to see what happens. We're going to play around with it until we can figure out what they actually want, like all the rest of the teams that's been doing it for the past 10 years. And, you know, the teams that's been doing it the past 10 years, you know who they are, because, you know, they know what to cook because they know what they're looking for. And until you start changing things up and, you know, making big changes, you're not going to know what they're wanting anyway. And until you do, you're not going to win. So that's the biggest thing.
You know, what the thing about it is, on a competition cook, you hate to go in there, roll in there, and try something new that time to try to change you, you know, try to change your flavor profile up. I know I always try to resort back to what I know for sure instead of changing, and I kind of go in and serve it the way I serve it, you know. And it usually pays off, I mean, but sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, that brings me to another question that I ask a competition barbecue circuit group page on Facebook, because after I received my Tyson scores of the day, it was just like, you know, I had two judges that loved it. One judge killed me. And, you know, because you never know, and I always want the meat to stand out and represent itself, you know, and I don't sauce when I turn my pork box in, and it has always done really well. But, you know, I asked a question, and it was kind of a 50-50 thing. You know, I had half the answer saying no sauce, just pork, the meat being the meat for meat, and then others say, well, we sauce ours. We sauce it, slice it, pull it, and chop it, you know, in a box. What's your opinion on that?
If you want to win in pork, you got sauce it. That's just the way it's going to be. You're not going to get anywhere without the with the meat. I mean, just really not. We tried it. Okay, I mean, we've got great pork. That's one of our top categories. It's great without sauce. Does not have to have it. And we know it's great. But
right.
We know to have to be able to win, it has to have sauce on it. Because it's got, you know, people have a chemical imbalance in their brain that says barbecue, and it has to have sauce on it. So if you don't put sauce on it, you just kind of screw yourself, really, because you got to think like what the judges think like. Because those people, that's just what they know, and that's what they judge on. It's not supposed to be like that, and that's the whole perspective I was going with a while ago, that I was saying I'm going to cook it as I serve the public instead of what they actually say they want. Because that's another thing I was talking about. You know, they're not supposed to judge on whether or not it has sauce or it don't have sauce. I had a judge tell me, hey, you didn't put no sauce on your pork. Why didn't you put any sauce on your pork? Well, it was good enough to stand alone.
Right.
Well, yeah, it was. But that's not what we're looking for. We want sauce on it. You know, that's
right.
Just what they wanted. So, you know, I feel you cut yourself short. That's kind of like Randy Hill when he was on Pitmasters. You know, we talked to him about that, and he explained the whole chicken thing, the whole chicken half. Because I didn't understand it when he put the whole chicken half in the box. I was like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You're killing yourself. You know, that was in my mind frame, and I was thinking just like the judges was. But he was thinking outside the box, and he had a very good point. It does take more time to cook the whole chicken together. But, you know, and that's the way he saw it. He was going on a difficulty scale. And he had a very good point, made a very good point. But that's not the way the judges seen it. The judges seen it as a dumb mistake. But it literally, it was a smart decision on his part, but it wasn't taken by the judges that way. So, you know, that's why I'm looking at. I'm looking at more of a, you know, I don't know what you call it, mind game, I guess, what you're looking at of what,
really?
You know, what regular people want, what they actually think, what regular people think. Even though they're KCBS judges, they're still normal people. They're not any higher or any more certified than I am to eat barbecue. And that's just the way it basically rolls down my back. I mean, you know, I go into a place to eat, I judge them just the way I judge my own food. I believe judges are just the same. That's my opinion. I know it's my opinion, but, you know, if you don't like it, call in. Let's discuss it.
There you go.
That's my opinion.
Call in.
Tell
these Lulu boys your opinion. We want to hear it. Tell Chris Jett with your opinion because we want to hear
it. I want to hear it, but they're just normal, just like me and you, and that's just like the President of the United States. They can say whatever they're going to say, but they don't ever hold up to it. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You can't change people. Everybody's their own self. So, you know, even though they have a card that says certified KCBS judge, they're still going to judge food because they're a person. They're human. And that's just the way it's going to be. So, I'm going to go about a different way this next contest, and we'll see what happens. I might be wrong. I might take dead last and a bunch of stuff. But,
you never know until you try. If you do take dead last, you'll know next time not to do it the way you did the time before. I'm telling you, it's not the end of the world. We're learning, we're doing. You know, we learn. Like I said earlier, it's a constant learning game. This barbecue competition, you'll never figure it out. You've got tons of product out there that is awesome product. You've got different opinions from competition to competition. You've got different judges, taste, palate. You know, they're the taste profiles. They expect it to taste like this, and you're expecting it to taste like that. Now, personally, I don't sauce my pork when I turn it in. When I go to these larger competitions, yes, I'm going to have to start doing some of that because, you know, I want to be in there. I want to be in that game. And I do well everywhere I go, but, you know, just like this Martin, Tennessee Tyson cook, you know, I had some great scores, and then I had one guy just kill it and take me to the bottom with it. And I just said that was rough to deal with. And same way with my chicken. Had some on-the-money chicken. Two judges loved it. One judge didn't like it at all, you know. And you just think, man, you never know. That's just judging, and that's all you can do, and you just have to go on. And, And, you know, the two loved it, one killed it, and once one kills it, nips it in the bud, it's over. After that, boys, it's time to pack it up because you're not going to play. But, you know, you've got, I would like to take a judge class or take several. That's another thing I'd love to talk about one of these nights, maybe get a few judges on the show and discuss these judge criteria, you know, what they're looking for, what they expect, because until you know exactly what they're on and what they want, it's going to be hard to put that out there, and I think you get that insight on these judging classes, and I think that's a smart thing to do, especially if you have the time, you can fit one in, and somebody local close is going to have a judging class. I think you need to get in on that. And get it. What do y'all think about that, guys? Come back, say that again to me. But
don't need to get something to eat. Don't need to wait too late.
That sounds like Mick Chester to me.
That did sound like Mick Chester. Mick Chester, you on the line with us tonight? Rub one out. But anyhow, guys, you know, I think a judge class is going to be really give you some good insight on what they're actually wanting, and that's what we're after. We got to know from cook to cook what we've got to do, and that's the thing that I hope this coming year, this next year, that the Tennessee Barbecue Association can do. We're going to get some regulated insight. We're going to try to have a criteria, something that all these cooks can go and cook at these competitions. And we're going to have a set of judges looking forward, basically just like a KCBS cook, knowing what to put out there, knowing what to expect, knowing how to present, how to turn it in, you know. And I think that's going to up the bar. On these competitions, we definitely need some of that in and around all these small cooks, you know. It's just, it's luck of the draw what everybody's thinking, what they want to do. You know, as we spoke earlier about turning in chicken, turning in pork especially. Lulu's sauces their pork when they turn them in. I personally never sauce my pork when I turned it in. But, you know, we just change the game, try to keep it going. Guys, have y'all ever turned your pork in not sauced?
Yeah, we have. I mean, we've turned stuff in non-sauced because we never sauced anything before, and that's where the whole perspective come from. Because I had somebody, you know, tell us that, you know, why didn't you sauce it after we got done from another competitor, and you know, had some judges come by and we talked to them, and you know, it's just kind of one of those things. That's why I was talking about, you know, with people. You just can't take the normal out of them.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
can't take that normal out, no matter if you send them to a judging class or, you know, you can tenderness and moisture and, you know, taste, you know, that's pretty much a gimme. That's, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
But you just can't take what people understand, you know. You can't take that away from them because that's what they've grown up to be all their life, you know. That's like me going down to Mexico and eating jalapenos. I'm gonna die because I just can't handle it. I've not been raised that way. But, you know, if somebody lives down there and they eat those ever since they was little, and they sit there and eat them like they're a snack. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You can't change a person the way they've been raised or known things for years and years and years.
Well, that's the uncertainty of all these competitions. You got different judges there and all these, and they're all expecting different things. But you're right, they all are human. They all do want what they want, regardless of what the criteria is of each turn-in meal. You know, you're right, they're hitting on what they want. That's when you get those tens. And when you get those sixes and sevens, they don't like it at all. So I agree with you there 100% that the key question is knowing what the judge is wanting. You know, that's the whole key, and that's just a key that I don't think it will ever be unlocked That's the uncertainty of the competition and where we go and try to hit that. We try to hit that mark, try to turn them judges on. You know, I know I'll bring up Blue's Hog Barbecue Sauce. It's one of my favorites. I like the Blue's Hog Barbecue Sauce. I like the heat in the red. I like the vinegar in the red. I love the smokiness and the sweetness of the Smoky Mountain. That's his newest sauce. The original, any of them are good. I mean, you know, and that's the whole. He set the bar on the sauce for all these competitions, and you know, it's just a matter of combinations and what you like, what your taste preference is, and if it's going to hit with the judges. I like it. I like to use it, and you know, I like to try a lot of different barbecue sauces, but that is one of my favorites. You know, that Sweet Baby Ray's, a lot of people love that Sweet Baby Ray's. I'm not a fan of Sweet Baby Ray's myself, but, it, you know, it's a good product. It's out there, and it sells. But one of my favorite sauces, I would say, would be the Blue's Hog. I make my own sauce, and I enjoy it, but I enjoy other sauces also. I don't know. What is one of your favorite sauces, Cody?
I don't really have any favorite sauces, really. I mean, I use ours, but, I mean, I really don't have any favorite sauces
that
really just stand out to me. Not because I don't like any of them. It's just that I'm just not a real big barbecue sauce guy. I know. But, I mean, I'm just really not. I don't really use barbecue sauce on anything other than, you know, the barbecue sandwiches I serve. So, you know, that's about it. You know, I like it with the food I cook, but... You know, otherwise, I mean, I don't really cook at my house a whole lot. I don't really do anything other than using A1 or Heinz 57 sauce or some ranch with some mozzarella sticks or chicken strips.
Yeah,
but,
I got you.
I mean, I just really don't. I mean, I do like the Blue's Hog stuff. It is a good product. You know, you can win with it. It is a good product. A lot of other ones out there I really don't know a whole lot about. We used to get a bunch everywhere we went and try them and, you know, I still do. I still get some and try them, but, I mean, 90% of them I don't really like. It's just my opinion, but, I mean, I just don't really like them. But, you know, there is some out there that are really good, and there's some out there that I just, you couldn't pay me enough to use it, and I don't see how they marketed it. But, you know, Sweet Baby Ray's is pretty good stuff. You know, all I remember when I was growing up was Kraft. That's what I remember was Kraft barbecue sauce.
That's right. Kraft is huge, and it's not a bad barbecue sauce. But you know, one thing about Kraft is that they don't sponsor, as far as I know. They're not out there. They're not helping any barbecue competition, or they're not kicking out and sponsoring it. You know, that corporation, as large as it is, you know, are not helping anybody with any type of sponsor, you know, And Bill Arnold, he's out there on the circuit cooking, and he is representing his product, and he's passing it out, and you know, other guys are out there with their product, and they're on the circuit cooking, and they're passing their sauces out. Kraft ain't out, you know, they're not out there, and I'm a firm believer. I like to support and do for, you know, my local, you know, all my local guys and guys that are out there working and humping and doing it, you know, I'm gonna be a supporter of them. But, you know, that the Kraft is not a bad sauce, but you know that, you know, I said that one time to somebody, and he basically told me about the same thing that I'm saying now. And you know, they're just not out there. You know, I'd like to challenge them to get out there and go to competitions and set up a booth and participate and be part of the show and help all these small cooks, all these local cooks. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, this barbecue community helps each other, and they help and support each other. And sure, I'm going to support all I can any of my local brother and sister barbecue community. I'm going to help them, and that's what it's about, you know, support. And, you know, if everybody did that, we would have a lot easier time out there, and it would make it more beneficial for everybody. You know, I'm a firm believer in supporting local and doing good for events, and I'm just pro support. And that's you know, that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to support who supports us. You know, that's just bottom line. Just like we've got a lot of companies out there. I know I talked to Mr. Fred at Mojo Bricks this past week. You know, he's got a nice product. He uses a lot, you know, a lot of cooks can benefit from what his product does and what it is. And hopefully he's going to come on and, you know, we've got all these other spice companies that we're working on and talking to, and hopefully they're going to come on board and help and do some things. And we can use their product and they can support. But, you know, that's what it's all about, helping each other, helping one another. And I'm a firm believer in that. I know, back to Blues Hog barbecue sauce, he's got a rub that's actually really, really good also. You know, it's not sold locally. Who I got it from was Bill himself, and it's a fine rub. Me and my daughter used it and prepped a lot of ribs with it not long ago. It's got a fire taste. It's good. I mean, it's really a fine product. Are there any rubs out there, guys, that y'all using? That I make my own rub most of the time, but is there any commercial rubs y'all using right now?
No. When I first started out, there's a company called Strawberries down in Hawkins, Missouri. They're a barbecue place. They mass-produced it. He started out just, you know, making it in his own. He had like a little shop. He would make it out there until the government come in and told him he couldn't make it no more. And
right.
It's mass-produced around here. It's real salty. It's a real salty product. It's almost like ours without the salt in it. But that's one of the biggest ones around here. And, you know, that's the only one that's on the market, really. There's nothing else that really competes with it. There's, you know, there's nothing on the market for barbecue season right now, nothing, other than, you know, that one around this area. And, you know, that's one of the things that we was looking at to get ours on the market to be able to compete, because, you know, everybody has barbecue sauce. Everybody, you name it, they
right.
got it. Johnny, Joe Bob, you know, anybody
yeah.
who's everybody, they got their own barbecue sauce, but nobody has seasoning out on the market, and that's probably our next adventure to get into. And, you know, it's like we was cooking at a contest, and I went to the store at Walmart, and I bought a bottle of Kraft barbecue sauce and just set it out there on the back of my grill.
Right.
And
right. There was a
guy that was next to us. He had his own barbecue sauce, and he had it marketed and had a label and stuff on it, and they was over there and, you know, talking to him, hauling about everything, and just having a big old time and, you know, bragging a bunch of other stuff. And I just took that bottle of Kraft and set it out there on the grill and opened it up and act like I was using it. And, well, he come back after scoring this and that, and the guy was upset because he was, like, close to last and everything. And, you know, he saw what we did. He's like, all you used was Kraft? That's all you used? And I said, no. I said, we got our own barbecue sauce. I said, I just put that out there to mess with people just to get a conversation going with people.
Yeah.
He was like, and he gave me some of his, and, you know, it was all right. It wasn't that bad. I'm not real big on the smoky barbecue sauce, and that's just me. But, you know, all the ones you taste from the Hunts to the Bullseye, I like the Bullseye, but from the Bullseye, 90% of the commercial barbecue sauces that you get have a fake smoke flavor in them that you can taste. And I'm not real big on that. That's one thing about the Blues Hog. It does not have that smoky, you know, taste like wood, you know, sauce.
Right.
It don't have
right.
that taste to it. And that's what I like about the Blues Hog. But 99% of the ones that you buy anywhere, they have that artificial smoke taste in them. You know, they use the liquid
right.
smoker, you know, something like that. And, you know, it's just something I don't use. I just don't like it. But, you know, some people do, some people don't. I think you use
right.
some in yours, don't you?
I do use some smoke. Not a lot. But I like to add a little smoke in there. I like the color of it. You know, it's dark. It darkens it up some. It doesn't look like a tomato base, just tomato based ketchup sauce. Which naturally, the thing about it is, when I cook, I really smoke my meat. I mean, I emphasize smoke. You know, it's not going to be good if it's not smoked. And I smoke it, real smoke. I don't fake smoke it. It's real hickory smoke, stick, burner, and I'm putting some smoke out, and I'm basically going to run my whole brand around smoke one of these days. But it kicks it out, you know. And you don't need a sauce. You don't need a sauce with smoke in it if you're smoking it and you're cooking with smoke, you know, because it's real smoke and it's fire. But I use a little because most of the people that buy and use my barbecue sauce don't smoke their meats, you know, and that smoke flavor compensates for some of that. And it helps them think they've got a smoky flavor out of the oven. And, you know, it's a good commercial sauce. It works, you know, when it comes out, I hope it does well. But, it's just a good sauce. It's more of a retail sauce than it is a commercial retail sauce than it is a competition sauce. But I like to smoke, in it. But I'm smoking my meat, and a lot of these guys. One of the competitions I did that I actually, some of the worst barbecue I think I've personally ever done, I cut my smoke out of it, and I sauced my exterior shoulders, buttered them down, brown sugar, that kind of deal, and basted them as I cooked them. And I had no flavor in my meat at all. And when I smoke my meat, people come up and ask me, how do you get that flavor in that meat? Because we can't go, when we go buy barbecue, it don't taste like this. What do you do to it? You know, I had to answer that question 200 times yesterday. And it's all in the smoke, so I emphasize a lot of my flavor in my smoke. And y'all cook on pellet grills because you also get a lot of smoke out of your rigs too, don't you?
Yeah, we actually do get a lot of smoke. I'm in the medium range on smoke range. I like the meat to be able, you can taste the moisture in the meat, the juices it provides. But, you know, you do get a nice smoke ring. You get that light smoke taste that's real balanced between the juices in the meat, the smoke in the meat, and the seasoning that we use. It all kind of blends together to where it's all got a nice balance to it. Nothing overwhelms each other. Everything's real equal to each other. And that's one thing I think the customers really like. Everything is well balanced in it. And, you know, I've ate at some places, and, you know, that when you eat their food, it tastes like you're eating on a piece of tree. And I can't eat that when it dries out when you taste it, and it just kind of has that bitter taste on the end of your tongue because it's got so much of a wood flavor in it. You know, I like the taste of the wood, but I don't want to act like I'm eating a piece of wood like a chipmunk or anything.
Right. Well, that, it's there again. It's just like judging. It's just everybody's we've got a little different flavor profile that they think it ought to be, you know, and I know I do rely on my smoke quite a bit in the first stages. You know, when you're smoking a butt or smoking a shoulder, you're going to smoke that bad boy probably 4 or 5 hours, and that's probably all it's going to take. I mean, it ain't going to take any more than 5 hours to smoke. It don't matter, not unless you're smoking it for an extensive long time. You're not a competition cook. And, I do try to smoke mine up, but the only thing about when you smoke that meat, smoke ribs, chicken, pork, doesn't matter what you're smoking. When you're smoking it heavy like that, then that's when you have to worry a little more about your appearance and your color. Because when you smoke it heavy, I don't know how your shoulders, your butts turn out after you smoke them. Do they have a good black char on them? Are they colored? Do you keep them sauced enough to color them up? Or what's your final product look like?
Our final product you can put in a magazine. And that's the one thing that we pride ourselves on. And that's one thing about the pellet smoker you can get from it than you can get from anything else. You don't get that burnt black. You don't get just a nice mahogany red color that comes through. And, You know, it's just real nice, pretty, and it's got to do with the clean wood that, you know, we use every time. It, you know, everything, it's a clean wood. You know, that's the good thing about a pellet smoker. You get the nice, clean wood. You know, you don't have to worry about it. If it's seasoned, you don't have to worry about, you know, actually what it is or, you know, how long it's been sitting and, you know, if it's got moisture in it or if it's got bark in it, you know, because it all darkens everything up. And, you know, that's one thing we don't have to worry about. They don't darken any of our meat. It just makes it a pristine, nice color to where, and, you know, if you go on our Facebook page, the pictures that we put up, you know, they're not autoed anyway. They're the actual pictures that we take. And, you know, a lot of people just don't, you can't really understand it. But, you know, if you go in and look, you'll see what I'm talking about. And, you know, that's one of our things, our prized things, because that's one of our biggest marketing tools is our food, to take pictures and show it off. And
oh,
that's
yeah.
how, you know, a couple of different events, you know, that's how we actually got people to buy that didn't know who he was when we first started out, was the way they looked, other than, you know, the way they taste. So people eat with their eyes.
That's right. I was going to say, they eat with their eyes before they taste it, no doubt. And I always want my presentation to look good, and it is spot on, but I do personally like the lighter reddish color, but when you're actually smoking and you're hitting on a real hickory smoke, it's going to darken that meat up quite a bit. And I work on the color because I like a different color, you know, than what I'm producing. I like a lighter color, and that's the thing about when you go to competition. If you get to knowing all these guys that you're competing against, you know them well enough. I'm not over there shigging and trying to find out secrets or what they're doing, but I like to look at the different product, that their final product is kicking out, because I enjoy looking at all this different stuff. And, you know, it's amazing how you can have a pork rib and you've got 100 different teams and they're all different flavor profile, different texture, different color. They're all different. And you're not going to have any two the same. But, you know, it doesn't mean they're bad. It's just they're all going to be different. Like, our ribs come out one way, and, you know, the team right next to us, their ribs come out completely different. Not saying they're not bad or they're not as good or they're better than mine. It's just they're completely different than mine. And that's the thing. I enjoy seeing all that. And, because that's part of going to a barbecue competition. You know, it's you know, like I say, I'm not trying to shig, you know, I'm not trying to go over and learn something different. I'm just trying, I appreciate the different styles and flavor profiles that they have. And
yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the things, and that's like with Facebook, you get to see a lot of people's food and, you know, get to see different things, and I'm going to say something, and if I offend anybody, I'm sorry, and, you know, I'm controversial anyway. And they might be listening, and that's fine. But, you know, somebody had a picture up of a whole hog, and it was, and they was like, oh, yummy. It didn't look yummy to me. I mean, the pig looked black. It looked like it had fur still on it. That's how dark the pig was, the outside of it. I mean, it was charred up. It looked like it still had the fur on it, and they was pulling out bones, and you could see them sitting on the table, and you could see how the bones looked, and you could tell that the meat had no moisture in it whatsoever, just by the bones it was sitting on the table.
Dried out.
And, you know, that's just one of the things you can, you know, you see and you can tell, and that's by looks. When I looked at it, I said, I don't want none of that. And, you know, that's the other thing I was talking about. But, you know, with Facebook, you get to see a lot, and you get to see a lot of different places and a lot of different people from different areas. And, hey, I've seen some good-looking food on there. I said, boy, I want some of that. But, you know, that's just kind of the things you get to see. And, you know, at competitions, you don't really get to see that much of other people's food. Nobody gets to see yours, really, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that,
you know, you're right. You know, when I'm in line turning my stuff in, I'm talking to everybody. I'm going to talk to everybody regardless. And I've got my box, and they've got their boxes, and shit, I open my box up, and here's what I'm doing. What are y'all doing? You know, let me take a peek of what y'all doing. And they'll open their box up, and you just talk back and forth, and you keep going, and before you know it, you've seen four, five, six different turning boxes, and they're all a little different, you know. And a lot of the competitions we do, it's no garnishment at all, so it's all meat, strictly meat, nothing else but meat. And it's amazing how they can turn some of that stuff in. You know, I've seen some turning boxes. It looks like they just took Kraft barbecue sauce and squirted over the whole thing. It's floating in barbecue sauce, you know, real. And, you know, you just see a lot of different stuff. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I just like to see different, you know, different things other than what I'm doing because I'm used to what I'm doing. And I would rather see, you know, different ideas, different things. So, you know, it's just, you know, that's what it is. That's just what it is, and that's, you know, that's how I feel about it. Now,
we're the same way.
I was going to say, I cooked the whole hog going now. I'll start that in a minute. Tell me what
you think. I mean, we feel the same way about that. We feel like a lot of people actually depend on barbecue sauce to cover up a lot. I mean, we look at barbecue sauce as a condiment of an option. Some people look at it as a priority to have it because that's, you know, that's how they get their flavor, that's how they get their taste to cover up other things. And, you know, I there's one thing out there that's not out there in the barbecue world. I wish there was a competition that was a no sauce competition. Just your meat. That's just
right.
The way it was. Just your meat on your categories instead of, you know, sauce to cover up everything. And, you know, a lot of people just depend on the barbecue sauce to get the flavor that they want. And, you know, that's like you're saying with the whole box. It looks like they just took sauce and poured it on top of it. And I've seen a lot like that. And I do believe sauce wins a lot of competitions. I really do. I don't believe it's the meat or the product. I think it's the sauce. And, you know, if you got a great sauce, you're going to win. That's just where it comes down to. But, you know, I wish there was a contest out there that had no sauce. It was a no sauce contest. Because, you know, just the cooker and the meat, just to see, you know, how much flavor you can get in that meat without using your barbecue sauce to where it really breaks down to see who does have the top meat there and not who has the top sauce. So, that's how I feel about it.
Well, you know, and like I said earlier, you've got, you know, Blues Hog is so large, I would say 95% of the teams has got a jar of red or original. In their sauce cabinet, so to speak, there on a competition. And if you got 50 different teams using Blues Hog sauce, it's going to be hard to distinguish. That's when the meat's going to come into play. You know, the profile, the texture, the way it's prepared, the tenderness of it. That's all going to have a big factor in it, you know, because if everybody's using the same sauce, you're going to have something to distinguish between A, B, C, and D, you know. And, you know, it's just, you know, that's something we never know. That's just the game we're playing when we go to compete on that sauce. That's a big topic, you know. It'll never be decided or actually finished out. It's never going to be solved. It's just something that keeps going back for more and more and more. And I'm just going to keep playing my game and having a good time and enjoying all the camaraderie and seeing and meeting all my friends that I hadn't seen in a while. And I know I'm going to try to go up to the Jack Daniels and go and experience it and meet a few more people that I talk to all the time. And it'd be great if we could get our Texas connection down from to Tupelo, and we get down there and just have a big time. And I'm ready to do some of that. And it's getting closer at hand, so we'll have a good time. And, you know, we're not around here. We don't have the big shows like a lot of the GBA, the Georgia Barbecue Association, or the South Carolina. They've got a lot of events, a lot of big shows all the time. Seems like it. And I don't know what it is around Tennessee, you know, that we've got tons of events, but none of them are that large. And hopefully they can all get on the same page sooner than later and become a little larger and then have a few more guidelines. Hopefully that's where the TBA is going to come into play. We're working on that. We're still working on that. But back to that whole hog you was mentioning a while ago. I know we did one here a while back, and I've got a big old cooker, and I use charcoal in it, especially on whole hog. And we cooked one, and it was a little tart, It wasn't black, like no bones, dry bones, but it was a little dark because they, the guys there neglected to, they wanted to turn it. They just didn't turn it quick enough, but it was fine product. It was really good, moist. I do inject my whole hog and do keep it mopped down as we cook it and keep it rubbed down. So that rub gives it a good color and helps infuse that color into the meat, especially the smoke ring too. But I'm strong on a big rub. I like a good red paprika cayenne base rub. You know, that's some of the product I use in chili powder. You know, you got your chili, your paprika, and your cayenne. That's going to make a good red rub for no, you know. I don't know what, you make your own rub, right?
Yeah, I make a red.
And I'm sure you use some of that in there too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. That's how you get that red color out in it.
Yeah, you got to use that red to keep that red in there. That's really important, that red.
A lot of people don't know with paprika, you actually get a smoky taste out of it.
Yes,
if you cook with it right. Now, if you cook really at a high heat and, you know, you cook it way up, it will burn it and it will turn it brown. But if you cook it at a lower temperature, it brings out more of a smoky texture on your meat for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people think paprika is used to garnish deviled eggs.
Yeah.
And I use it to garnish my deviled eggs too, but I like paprika, and it's got some heat in it too. You can generate quite a bit of heat out of, depending on what region paprika you use. And,
I like a Hungarian paprika. It's more expensive, but I really like the Hungarian paprika.
I do. I understand what you're saying. I like the Hungarian. I've actually got some new paprika, lime-infused paprika that's good in the Mexican cuisine. But I like a good paprika. I like a good chili powder to go with my rub. And I actually use quite a bit of cayenne and red pepper. And it gives it some good fire. Of course, then you kick it up another notch with some salt. And it's always, you know, a good rub. And the variations of rub is going to be in how much salt or sugar or paprika / red pepper you use. You know, that's your variations in your, you know, some people use allspice or whole spice or Chinese spice. And that brings in too much cinnamon for me, but I like the traditional heat, sweet, good red rub is what I really go for.
I like the MSG.
Yeah, I do too. You know, that's really good for all of us. That's a healthy ingredient we use. That's MSG, monosodium glutamate, or as far as that goes, you know, accent on the by shelf. That's all it is. It just looks better for you. You know, it's in a happier package than MSG. But that's good. But I try to sway off that a little bit. You know, but I do like it too. That MSG is really good for that old ticker. But we got, it's just all a variation of different flavor profiles, and that's what it's about. That's flavor profiles for you. That's profiling those flavors, trying to make it work, trying to make it, keep it real, and trying to get that extra edge. It's always important to try to do that. So how often do you make your barbecue sauce, your rub, as much cooking as you do now?
I usually make seasoning about twice a week. I usually make a big batch to get me through half the week and then another batch to get me through the other half of the week. And then I'll make a 20-quart sauce I can't think of what you call it, but anyway, the big pot, big sauce pot.
Right, right, right.
I make it twice a week also. I can usually get about 5 gallons. I think it's out of that 20-quart sauce pot. I can get about, I think, 5 gallons out. So I'm going through about 10 gallons a week just, you know, just using it on serving food. That's on sandwiches and, you know. So, I mean, that's a lot of sauce. I mean, I'm not retailing it or selling it. If I could, if I had more time to make more of it, I'd sell it. I got a lot of people that wants it. But I used to sell it when we had a little bit more time. But, you know, once Kobe gets a little bit more healthier, then I'll probably end up getting it out there and getting it back out to where I can sell it, because we sell it by the gallon, we sell it by the pint, and we sell it by the quart as fast as I can make it. So
that's good. You know, especially right there on the big red sled, you know, just keep it right beside it. Send them a gallon home with a sandwich, you know, that's the way to do it. But it does take a lot of time to make that sauce and do it. And I think we've got a local call here on the line. Let's see who we got at 415 number. Who is this? You're on.
Is that me?
That's you. You here?
Well, I'm sliding in a little late.
How you doing tonight? You got Keith Webb, Fire Report. What's going on?
Been busy, busy, busy today. Just didn't even think about things until just a few minutes ago. I said, "Oh, let me check in there and see what they got going on."
Well, we've been going strong. We've been talking about a little. We've been trying to cover all the bases. We've just we made it happen. That's for sure. And anything going on with you this week? Preparing for next week?
Yeah, this today we've been running over some recipes and ideas, trying to get ready for Kentucky.
Well, you know, that's coming up. It won't be long before that is in the mix. That'll be a good
show.
Is
that the Carlisle Fest?
Yeah.
Where are you going there?
I'm sorry?
Where are you going at over in Kentucky?
Right, Carlisle.
Okay.
We're going to hit the Carlisle Fest. Going to go down there and cook with Shane and all them guys. I don't know how many teams they have down there. And we still might be able to squeeze in and go down there, but, you know, that's a back-to-back cook. You know, Springfield is that second weekend, then Carlisle Fest will be that third weekend. And I don't know, you know, we're going to try to work it all in, but, you know, it's always fun to go to different places and go and cook and have a big time.
Springfield one, I'm not going to be able to do it because of time off, but I lived there for a little while. I wouldn't mind doing that one, but all right, committed to this Kentucky one. There's no way I can take off both weekends.
Right, right. Well, it should be, I think it's a United Way. It's a big United Way cook. It's for the United Way, if I'm not mistaken. But that really sounds like it'll be a good cook. I think Lulu's is going down there, and I'd like to go. I might squeeze and just try to go down there and roll down there and hang out if I can't go cook. I don't know. But it'll definitely be nice. It'll definitely be nice. Well, guys, you know, this 2 hours is almost up. It was pretty rough at the start. Had some technical stuff trying to get it going, and we got that cleared out got some action, some callers calling in, and turned out to be really a good show. Cody, if you want to start off, give everybody your information in case they want to get in touch with you. Tell us how to get in touch with you and how to look you up.
You can look us up on Facebook under Lulu's Barbecue, or at Yahoo. You can look us up under Lulu's Barbecue at Yahoo.com. Or you can give me a phone call at 573-683-0326. We'd love to talk. Any needing tips or, you know, anything like that, just give us a call. We help you out in that area. If there's any sponsors out there that want to take us on, we are a high publicity team, not just a competition, but, you know, we do cook every day and, you know, things like that, doing events and, you know, raising money for different people. And, you know, we got several going on this month, several grand openings and several catering jobs. And you know, if you want to get in touch with us, you know, just give us a call or look us up. Just see what the people have to say about us. We don't have to brag about ourselves. So
That's about all I got to say. All right. That is wonderful. Keith, give a little shout-out for you, brother.
Yeah, like he said, Facebook's probably the best way to get in touch with us under PiratePort. I'm on there, too. It's Keith Webb of PiratePort, where we try to keep all of it going. Yeah, sponsors. We'll definitely take any of that. We mostly competition cook. We do try to do a little bit of catering here and there if anybody wants to do any of that. Just give us a shout on there. Try to fix you up.
Sounds good. We sure appreciate it, guys. Appreciate both of you calling in. This is Chris Chadwick for the Chris Chadwick Show. Let's talk smoke. Till we talk again, y'all have a good night.
EBA.
Peace out.
Right, have a good night.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it greatly. We'll talk this week. And it'd be good if I just can't commit to saying that I'm going to get to come to go to that, you know, there in Springfield. But we'll see what happens, and maybe we'll work something out. Maybe something big will happen for us sooner than later. So holler at me if you need me, and I appreciate you calling in. We'll talk maybe tomorrow, all right?
All right,
later. All right, later.